Hello, and welcome to St. Columba Anglican Church in Beaumont, Alberta. I'm Stephanie London, and I'm so glad you're tuning in today. It's Sunday, June 12th, 2022, and we're reading Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Today is Trinity Sunday, the point in the church year when each person of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has now appeared in the story of faith. That's God the Father, the Creator, who made the world and then walked alongside the human family. And God the Son, Jesus, who became human for us and died and rose from the dead. And God the Holy Spirit, the breath of God sent on Jesus' disciples and the whole church so that everyone could see the glory of God and know the love of God. Today is set aside to focus on the Holy Trinity. One God who is three distinct persons who share one substance. I'm going to hazard a guess that you don't wake up in the middle of the night thinking about the doctrine of the Trinity. This is probably not the subject of your dinner conversations. You probably don't chat about it with the clerk in the grocery store. If we were Christians in the 200s, we would have done that. Our ancestors in the faith spent the first 300 years arguing and wrestling and discerning an answer to this question. What kind of God do we worship? Who was it who is revealed in Jesus? And after three centuries, this is the answer they came up with, in the words of part of the Athanasian Creed, which is the one that we don't generally say because it's so long. It says, "We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the essence. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal, such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Ghost uncreated. The Father unlimited, the Son unlimited, and the Holy Ghost unlimited. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. And also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite." And on it goes, but you get the idea. All of it grasping with words and numbers and images, trying to describe something that we ultimately can't understand. On my phone, I have a picture of my dog. Some of you have met him. In fact, I have many pictures of my dog. If I brought a screen and a projector, I could show you dozens of images. And after enough time, you would probably know some things about him. You would see that he's very fluffy, so you might guess that he sheds everywhere. You would see pictures of him snuggled on the couch with us, so you might assume that he considers himself part of the family and that he's small but not too small to jump onto the furniture. If I show you a photo of him peering over the edge of a plate, you might conclude rightly that pizza is his favorite thing in the whole world. But there's a lot you wouldn't know. Just based on my slideshow, you would have no idea that his tail looks like the bustle of a dress when he runs in the park. You wouldn't know how his fur felt the day we brought him home. You wouldn't know where he likes to sleep or how he reacts to the groomer or where he stashes his toys. You would have no idea that he likes to roll in earthworms after it rains. My photos have told you enough that you would probably recognize my dog if you met him at my door. But you would never know everything about him from these photos. You'd only know a slice of who he is. It's just not possible. Even those of us who live with him and feed him and take him for walks will never know everything about him. Even if we spoke dog, we would never know everything. The photos give a glimpse, but they don't show the whole. In a parallel way, the doctrine of the Trinity is sort of like a snapshot of God. It shows us something about God based on the information we have. It also shows us that there's a lot that we don't know about God. That the best we can come up with to explain God or to describe God is words that contradict each other and math that doesn't work. I had a professor in seminary who was one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. She would lecture and quote and tell these histories totally without notes. The people and the history and the philosophy that she held in her head was just beyond amazing. And out of all that, that lifetime of study and that brilliant mind, the conclusion she reached could have been out of a children's storybook. All of that came down to this. God is very, very big, and we are very, very small. Maybe that's why we have things like this doctrine of the Trinity, to keep reminding us of the fact that we can never fit God into our brains, that God is much more than we can ever understand, and to call us back to what we can know of God, which is what God himself has revealed. So we find that there are some things that we can say about this God beyond understanding whom we worship. We can say that God is constantly active in the world and our lives. Each person of the Trinity is actively present in our story. God the Father infuses everything with the creative energy it needs to keep going and provides the guidance people need to live well. God the Son walked among us and lived and died with us. And God the Holy Spirit moves in our lives like the wind, inspiring and challenging us. The doctrine of the Trinity says that God is intimately present and active. Nothing about the Trinity is distant or aloof. Second, we can look at the Trinity and say that the heart of God is a community, a relationship, something that requires multiple participants. We try to get at this when we describe God the Trinity as an eternal sharing of love or a conversation or a dance. The Celtic knot, for example, of endless intertwining lines or a trio around a dinner table. God is not a single cosmic being setting rules and throwing thunderbolts, but one whose central being is a community in perfect shared unity. Three persons, one God. And the most audacious thing about God the Trinity is that God invites us in, right up to their dinner table, right into the heart of the dance. It's the wildest claim that Jesus makes and that the followers of Jesus make, that we have access to God. We read a bit of Romans 5 earlier, where Paul writes of us having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes from holy unity in contrast to war that is division. Through Jesus, we can have peace with God. We can share the peace of God. We can share in the central quality of the Trinity. And Paul continues, through Jesus, we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand. We have hope of sharing the glory of God, being so close to God that we're filled with the same light, not because we deserve it, but because it's in God's nature to share it. And finally, this invitation to live within the heart of God, the Trinity, changes how we see things, even how we hold suffering. We boast in them, Paul writes, knowing that it all leads back to God, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The Trinity moves in generous outpouring of love and grace. Even our worst enemies, suffering and death, don't stand a chance against them. There is no price of admission to the grace and love of God. Jesus already took care of that. It's in the nature of God to welcome us in. You have a place at the table with God. God has welcomed you into the loving community of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May our whole lives be an outpouring of the love that God has given us.